and welcome back to another episode of Coffee and a Good Vibe. I hope that wherever you're at in your day right now, it is a beautiful day and you leave this episode so inspired, so supported, and just uplifted by beautiful conversation with this week's podcast guest. Guys, we recorded this episode back in New York City with Leah Van Dale. Now, Leah is an American professional wrestler. You guys may know her from her ring name, Carmella, as she is a professional wrestler in the WWE. She is a dancer, also a model, and, you know, truly, with everything she's created with the WWE, with her career, she is a huge influencer and leader in the online space. A lot of you guys, when I recorded this episode with Leah, are huge fans of her and just everything that she has been doing with her platform and her influence. She's definitely using it in such a positive way. And I always think it's just so beyond and inspiring when, you know, you build a following from one way, but then you leverage that following in so many ways of, you know, things, topics and interests and charities and things that you're passionate about to make this world better. That was one thing I was like absolutely taken away with by Leah, is how, you know, as she's no longer wrestling right now in the WWE, as she just had a baby, and when we were recording this episode she was pregnant, she is just on such a mission to, you know, leverage her platform to create a difference in really specific areas where she sees, feels called to, and has this innate passion to serve other women in. And I think that's such a big takeaway that I just want to leave here. You know, whatever it is you're passionate about, whatever it is that is calling you, that you have that inner whisper in your gut, in your heart, your intuition is telling you to do, you know, listen to it. Go in with the calling, because, you know, our purposes like stem from there. And when you create from a sense of meanings, from a sense of deep purpose, you know, the energy source is abundant. You know, gratitude, the abundance of positive energy and inspiration and, you know, motivation when, you know, you may hit a roadblock or an adversity, you know, those pools of abundance and energy are effortless and abundant when you do things from a place of service, when you do things that are ignited from your true passion and your values. And it's just so inspiring to me whenever I meet people who are creating businesses and brands that are such an igniting force behind their passions. Now, Leah has made such a name for herself in the WWE, and prior to that, she was a cheerleader in the NFL and NBA. She is also married to someone also who was from the WWE and shares a lot about her relationship in this episode and online, which I always think is super inspiring and also very nice insight to hear, because you can manifest any relationship that you desire in this life, and it's just beautiful to see, you know, such a positive, beautiful, healthy relationship that she has in her own life. So this episode really was, we went into a lot of different things, and I think you're gonna leave this episode so just energized by the beautiful conversation that I had with Leah. And if you're getting value from this week's episode, it would mean the world if you can give us a rating on whatever platform that you are listening on, because it definitely helps this podcast grow and reach more people. Better yet, if you know anyone you think would love the podcast, it would mean the world if you can share this podcast with them. Check us out on Instagram at Coffee and a Good Vibe, because that's where we share all the latest with upcoming events, upcoming episodes, and all that goodness, plus daily mindset, motivation, morning stories, you name it, we're there. We're delivering on that positive, high vibrational content. So I hope you enjoyed this amazing conversation that I had with the one, the only, Leah Van Dale. Hello, hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Coffee and a Good Vibe. We're in the studio in New York City again, and we're hanging out with someone so special who I'm so excited to connect with, to interview, especially because I feel like there's so much I want to know about your whole background and the world of WWE. So we're with the lovely Leah. Leah, also your ring name, what do you like to go by?
You can call me Leah. My ring name is Carmella. I mean, you can call me Carmella too. You can call me whatever you want. I'll respond. But my name is Leah.
Oh man, I'm excited to even like learn about like, because our audience, they might not be familiar with the WWE, and you have a ring name, and like, where does that come from? why ring name? Like,
it's a wild world. It's a very wild world. There's a lot to
dive all into it. But, you know, to kick things off, I would love to hear a little bit of background on like the who you are. Where did the abundant human Leah come from? Give us a little background onto what you've like, where you come from, your background, and then what you're doing now.
Sure. Well, I am from a very small, tiny town in Massachusetts. It's called Spencer, Massachusetts. Most people who live in Massachusetts have never even heard of it. That's how small it is. But I just usually say Boston because people know Boston. Yeah. I grew up with a sister. Was a dancer my whole life. Started dancing when I was three. Love performing, being in front of the camera, just the super ham when the camera's on. But I'm actually like very, very shy in real life. I say real life because I look at my character that I play on TV and that's like completely opposite of who I am. Like I couldn't even order an ice cream cone at the Dairy Queen when I was a kid. I had to have my sister do it. I was just so painfully shy. But dance was really sort of what kind of broke me out of my shell, and danced most of my life. I cheered in the NFL, the NBA, and it just kind of spiraled into the WWE.
That is insane. You know, one of the things that when we see like people who've become a professional athlete, it's almost like their parents maybe were, I would love to like go into your family background, like were your parents professional athletes or, you know, sometimes, especially with being so talented and naturally athletic, people are probably like, oh, maybe they come from such an active family. What was your family life growing up? Were they like, Leah, we're going to put you in all the sports, you'll choose your favorite, or was it dance, or did you choose dance?
My mom put me in dance when I was three, and then because she has videos of me, I started dancing before I could even walk. I was a dancer.
Oh my gosh.
And I just stuck with it. I never did anything else. I never did, you know, high school sports or anything like that. It was just always dance. And I mean, I grew up in a very fit household. My parents always worked out, and I brought like carrot sticks to school for recess. Yeah. You know, it was just always instilled in me from a young age, like very healthy, fit lifestyle. But my dad was a boxer, a submission fighter. He actually wrestled in the WWE.
Wow.
Dabbled in it a little bit in the early 90s. Never in a million years did I think I would get into it. I would watch it with him or watch him on it. And I mean, I would bring wrestling magazines to school. I'm like, that's my dad. I thought that was, really cool. But I never thought it was something I would do. And
Then how did that journey evolve? So you went, because after the end, like you professionally were cheerleading in the NFL. Like how did it evolve into WWE? Like what brought you there?
I was a Laker girl, and when I finished my final season there, I moved back home, and I had an agent that I was just using for dance, and they had gotten me the tryout, and they didn't even tell me it was for WWE. They just said, "Oh, it's, you know, a fighting company." And I was like, I don't know what that means. Wow. Like, what do you mean fighting company? Like, you just have to be an athlete. So I was like, okay, I feel pretty athletic. I think I could do this. And then when I found out it was for WWE, I was like, oh, this is kind of wild. I didn't know really what my next step in life was. I was working at a gym. I was teaching Zumba. I was just kind
of
like,
how old were you at the time?
25.
Okay. So
24, 25.
Young,
And I just had no idea what was the next step. I loved to perform, but I kind of felt like I did everything I could with dance.
Yeah.
And when I heard about this trial, I was like, you know what? Let's just give it a shot. Like, I have no idea. I have nothing to lose. And I ended up flying to Florida for a tryout, and it was a 2-week long tryout, and I made it. So it's just kind of crazy. I had no idea really what to expect. I mean, going through this tryout was so rigorous. It was so crazy, difficult on your body. And I remember going through everything. I just really wanted to show how athletic I was. And halfway through the tryout, they're like, hey, can you give us some personality? And I was like, oh my gosh, I've just been so focused on showing that I'm an athlete that I forgot about showing, you know, my personality. And then that kind of, I tried to, you know, do what I could and show them who I was, and it ended up working out. So it's kind
That's
of crazy.
Insane. So when you got the, like, you landed the trial, like, and you landed the role, like, what was next? Like, could you explain a little bit about the WWE and that whole sport, especially, like, within sports, right? Like, I feel like every sport has its own like tea, if you will, and sure. like its own like politics around it. So maybe just even some context, and I want to go into it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a completely different world, different lifestyle. There's,
where did you move from there? Like once you, well, you said you traveled around with it.
The training facility. So think of it sort of like the minor leagues. So you have like the major leagues of baseball, and then you have the minor leagues. It's kind of, if you're not familiar with it, you could say NXT is the minor league for WWE. So that's where they, you have their training facility. It's a state-of-the-art training facility in Orlando. So I picked up, had to move to Orlando. And you kind of just go through, I mean, learning the basics. Some people, especially at that time, I got signed in 2013. At that time, a lot of people would come from what's called the independent circuit. So people would be wrestling for shows and companies that have nothing to do with WWE. So they're not affiliated with WWE. They're really small sort of promotions. And so they have experience doing that. I had zero experience. So I would show up and I'm just kind of, you know, learning the basics. And it was super difficult for sure. I mean, on your body, I mean, I had bumps and bruises and just would be so, so sore and tired. But it was really fun and challenging. And at the time, like I said, I was 25. I was like, I was ready for a challenge, ready to just kind of try something new. And another really awesome aspect of it was the performance aspect, which I loved being in, you know, and dance for so many years. You got to kind of like create a character and come up with what it is you want to do and be larger than life. And being from Boston, I really wanted to do sort of this mob wife, Italian mobster, Jersey housewife sort of character. And that's where I, like Carmela Soprano, that's where I came up with my name, Carmela. And just, I knew because I didn't come from wrestling that I would probably have a harder time than a lot of the women who did have, you know, background in the sport. So I thought, well, if I'm going to set myself apart, I really need to make sure I have a strong character. And that's what I did. And my character has really been a driving force of the women's division. And once I finally got onto TV and did the whole thing. So yeah, it's been quite a journey. But I spent about 2 years in our minor leagues, if you will, and then moved up to what you call the main roster, and I started touring the country and performing all over the world. So,
and then how many years was that like touring all over? Like,
I've been doing that since 2016. So, and that is a different city every night. We don't have an off season, so it is 4 nights a week.
Oh my god! Okay, every 52 sport weeks a has year. An off season.
Yes,
and that is insane.
No,
like
off-season.
Hockey, football, every sport.
Yes, we don't have an off season. We don't have, it's 52 weeks a year, 4 nights a week.
Oh my God, I need to go into
hustle.
Your lifestyle.
It's
I know, we go into routine, but like in that time of your life, like how did you find any balance? And it's okay if there was none, because I believe like in seasons of life, sometimes we have no balance.
Sure.
So what was life like? And then I'm definitely so excited to dive into the diet and training, but
It was a struggle. I mean, at first, that's your whole goal. When you're in NXT, your goal is to make it to Raw or SmackDown. So the goal is to get on the road and travel and be part of this crazy lifestyle. So in the beginning, it was just great. I was just so excited to be on the road. I was so excited to travel and, you know, just you get in your rental car and you go and you're kind of on your own. So you fly to the city, you get your rental car, you have a show. Then that night you drive to the next city, you have your show the next day, you get in the car and drive.
WWE take care of like where you're staying and all of
that. So we're kind of in control of all of that. They fly us to where we need to be. And then we are in control of our rental cars, our hotels, our own sort of schedule, as long as we know where we have to be for the show.
I'm like learning so much.
It's crazy. I feel like I've gotten into a routine, because once you're sort of used to it after doing it for years, you know, like, okay, when I am in Arkansas, I know this one place that I go to, you know, you have your coffee shops, your little places that you go, or your shopping malls. Like, oh, I had this great boutique that I go to in, you know, the middle of nowhere, but you find your little places and you get to meet some awesome people and just really, it's crazy. I mean, now that I'm not doing it because I'm obviously I'm pregnant, I'm not traveling right now, I'm not working, but it's crazy to just think back on, like you're saying, there's just the balance. There is no balance, because it's just a hustle.
Yeah. Do you have like a coach during that, like a trainer being like, okay, this is what you're going to eat. You know, like professional athletes, how like when they are training, their coach is watching over every little thing. Is that the nature of the sport? Does everyone have their own?
Everyone kind of does their own thing. Some people might hire a coach or a trainer or a nutritionist. I just kind of got into my routine and kind of figured out what works for me. Yeah,
especially with your whole background and your family. I'm sure you have like all that knowledge. Like, you know what works for you more than anyone.
Yeah. And you just kind of, you know, what works for me doesn't necessarily work for one of my girlfriends and vice versa. So you just kind of figure out what your routine is and you get into it and you can switch it up. You can, you know, just kind of do what works best.
Yeah. What was your diet training and life, like diet and training like during that time? Because you don't have any time to rest. So as a female, especially, like, I know on this podcast, we do tap into so much health routines. And I've noticed this as well, like even just with myself, like always growing up being active in dance and sports. I noticed when I was competing in bodybuilding shows when I was in university, as we say in Canada, I lost my period and I did not get that back. Like, I was under so much stress with like my macros and my training.
Sure.
And you're as even like, regardless of that, like if your body's in a chronic fatigued stress state, it really plays a load on the female body. So was that all for you?
I actually have a lot of girlfriends that had the same thing, lost their periods. It was just awful. Just, I mean, the stress of traveling and put our bodies through just
you
in
were
the
even
rain.
On the move during that.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely difficult, but I think for me, I try to find that balance. When I'm on the road, if I'm feeling tired, I'm just going to go to the hotel and take a nap. I'm not going to force myself to go to the gym. So sometimes it's a matter of, okay, do I want to nap today or do I want to work out? Yeah. So you just have to kind of prioritize and see what you're in the mood for that day and what your body needs. But it's definitely stressful putting your body through all of that. And I'm grateful now I'm at a place where I can find a balance, you know.
Totally. Has it being in a sport that is like where your body is like shown so much, and you know, like also like I find with competing, it's almost like I put myself on that pedestal to be judged for my physique, and then posting, and we'll get into social media a lot too, but posting on social media, you know, my physique, people think that they're allowed to just like talk about your body of like, oh, I don't like it. Like, people just think they're allowed to because you're putting it out there to the world, even though you're doing it it's for your sport and it's for the art of the sport too. So there's that. That was always like my thing. How did that affect your body image? Like being so public with it, you know, and like even just being a female that, you know, I think as females when we're in fitness, it's just like, people think they can make comments when you maybe gained a couple pounds or lost a couple pounds. Like, how did that play a role on how you view yourself?
Such a big role, especially coming from dance. You know,
especially dance,
there's such a stigma around, you know, like a ballerina body and having to look a certain way, and going from that into, you know, cheering in the NFL, the NBA, like we would get weighed in all the time, and people, like my girlfriends would starve themselves for weigh-ins, and it just was awful to see them go through that. And then now, you know, in WWE, having to look a certain way, I just feel like my mental health when it came to my body image was not good for a long time. And it finally got to a point where I was like, I don't want to be feeling like this. I don't want to be like I would deprive myself so much of calories or whatever it was I should be eating. Like, I have a big match, I need to make sure that I look good, and then after the match I'll eat that. But then I had no energy.
So and you're not only like doing you're not only like, I feel like the WWE, like I'm gaining so much respect even from the sport, because it's like you are performing too.
Sure.
It's not even like you're doing, like you're playing a soccer game. You're performing.
Yeah, you're
like you're being a character. Yes. You are doing that. Like, you have to look a certain way fully.
And what we're doing, it's not like a lot of people like to say, oh, it's choreographed and things like that. And yes, while it is sort of like a soap opera, we know the outcome of the match. We know that what the storylines are. what we're doing is still so very real and physical. I mean, my life is in my coworkers' hand, you know, they're lifting me up, making sure that everything is, you know, going to go the right way. And a lot of times things go wrong. Wow. So you have to be, you know, on physically, mentally, and just be, you know, well aware of your surroundings and be on. So it's just, there's a lot to take in when it, you know, it comes to the body image and the mental health part of it as well. And I say that I used to feel like that, and I'm grateful that I'm at a point now where I've worked through a lot of that, and I'm just at a point now where as long as I feel good and I'm feeling healthy, I don't put pressure on myself anymore to be like, oh, I can't eat this. If I'm going to want to eat it, I'm going to eat it. It's life's too short, and it's all about balance.
How did you work through that? Like, maybe from your like lowest point to where you are now, I think a lot of males and females listening could really resonate with that and being restrictive, or especially in the world that we live in, right? Where it's so, we all like post on social media all the time, and it could be such a world of comparison.
Yes.
It could be tough. Like, even with social media too, it's like all how you pose, like, even like we know it, like, if I know like how to pose in a photo that I can look way different.
And you're not going to post something that you don't look great in, right? So it's just this, it's this necessary evil. It's so, it's awful. For me, I just was so sick of feeling depleted. I was sick of feeling tired. I was sick of feeling lethargic. I just felt like I had to make a change. And that's when I just started saying, you know, screw it. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to still work out and feel good, but I'm going to do it in a healthy way. And it was just as simple as that for me personally. Just mentally, I just turned on a switch.
You felt the benefits right away with how good you felt and how happy you felt. Yep.
Exactly.
We've had like other females, like influencers, who've also opened about body image on their social and similar things. It's like once they felt the benefits of in every way, you almost are like, damn, I wish I could have like woken up sooner.
Yeah, I've been missing out, you know? It's so true.
I love that. Well, I want to go into your social media because you have such a huge audience online, super engaged community. And I know you started doing it. When did you start your social? Because was it before WWE, or did you really like pick it up during when you landed it?
And yeah, I had social media prior to WWE, but I didn't really, you know, care about posting or anything like that. And then it became a thing. Once I started with WWE, they like to make sure, you know, we're kind of engaging with our audience and we're showing who we are outside of the ring and things like that. And for me, for a while, I think it was because our audience is predominantly male with WWE. So I kind of leaned into that, especially 5-6 years ago when I first started, like bikini photos and, you know, things like that. That's just what I did because that's what I thought you had to do. And that's what my audience was. Yeah. So I just kind of leaned into that. And it's just so funny because over the time, it's like, that's so just not what I'm about anymore. I just am more into like really showing, I've realized I have a huge female following and I have a responsibility, I think, to, you know, show young girls who I am outside of the ring and be honest with it. Not just like, oh, this is me in a bikini eating or drinking a coffee, you know, at my house. Like, that's just not realistic. And that's just not who I am. So I've really been excited to show my female following who I am and who I truly am and the real me and not just like the made up me and being like playing a part and the glitz and the glam. It's about, you know, being open and honest and raw. And I think having a platform, it is a responsibility to be real. And that's just kind of what I've leaned into the last few years.
I think it's such a beautiful thing too, the power of a personal brand, because you can show all elements.
Of course.
You know, you can show like, people love to see like the glitz and the glam, but then they also love to see like you eating on the couch with like having ice cream.
Right. And like no makeup on, no filter. Like, this is who I am. Do I still love to get dressed up and look cute in a bikini? Of course. But that's not who I am all the time.
Quick second to talk about a product that has absolutely changed the game for me, and that is Herbal Face Food. Now, you guys, this is the honestly holy grail skin product in my routine. It's completely healed and cleared my skin. My skin glows all the time with just nothing on it because of this product. I literally live, breathe, and swear by it. And that is the Herbal Face Food Serums. Their serums have been proven to reverse the 10 most visible signs of aging. So wrinkles, large pores, dryness, redness, discoloration, loss of skin tone, firmness, smoothness, radiance, brightness, as well as addressing chronic skin issues such as acne, eczema, rosacea, melasma. All these types of things that we can suffer from our skin, their product completely can heal it. And their product is a 100% plant-based product, which is truly just so profound to find. When I was dealing with a lot of skin flare-ups with stress, you know, I was trying different products and nothing was working for my skin because I have very sensitive skin. Whenever I try something that is other than something very natural and organic, it makes my skin react worse. And that's when this brand came into my existence and it has been my holy grail. Now that my skin is completely cleared and it's always just so smooth, so glowy, so soft and just vibrant, I still use this product because it continues to make my skin glow. Now, your skin is your largest organ and your body's biggest mouth. You know, when they say that you should be so concerned with like what you put in your body, you should also be very concerned with what you put on your skin. And that is why I am such a big fan of their serums. They have different plant-based serums that are made from all botanicals. And basically you just put this on your face. I usually put it on in my nighttime routine and leave it on. And that's literally it. Your skin will dramatically change and just become such a different version of how it is now through, you know, enriching and nourishing your skin with these botanical ingredients. Now you can kind of pair this with whatever face wash you use. I also really recommend their cream, which is probably, once you try this cream, you will never try anything else again because it moisturizes your skin on such a profound level and it keeps it super, super hydrated all the time. So I could not recommend this product more. I actually had the founder, Michael Zen, on the podcast a while back because I was absolutely obsessed and just mesmerized with how they created this product with the quality of ingredients and science backing that they have. You can even check out their website. They have lots of scientific studies and a lot of insight into why they are the way they are and why they have the specific product offerings that they do. So you guys can get a special discount that they don't offer anywhere else, which is Aisha20, and this will give you guys 20% off any of their products. And you will not, they never do codes, so this is the only place you can get a code. So share it with your friends, use it for yourself, and give this product a try. Aisha20, AYESHA20. I will have it in the show notes below. Also, if you ever have any questions about the product, shoot Coffee and a Good Vibe a DM and I will answer. And yeah, I just want you guys to try this product because it's truly changed the game for me and I swear by it and I could not do anything more but shout it from the mountaintops. So let's dive back into this episode with Leah.
What would you say like is your content strategy if you have one, or like even if you don't have one, like intuitively, like what pillars that you post in on your social media? Because you've done such, like when someone goes to your page, I, being in like the PR marketing space, I'm like, she knows, like she has everything. Like it encompasses the perfect blend of like your personal life, your professional life, your personality. So how do you blend it all so well? Cause I think some people listening maybe only show like the business side, or sure, like they don't brand everything.
I don't have a strategy. I wish I did, but for me, it's more just like what I'm in the mood to talk about that day, or if like I have something saved, I'm like, okay, I'm going to post that at some point this week. But for me, like as far as pillars go, I think, I mean, I love fashion. I really like to kind of show my personal style, and it may not be for everybody and that's okay, but like it works for me. I think you know, I really like to show my family. I'm married. I have 3 stepkids. Mm. And to me, I feel like I've really created a community of women who are kind of in that same boat, or like maybe they're worried about dating someone with kids. And I want to show women like, hey, like this is, it's an amazing thing. It can be great. And so I like to show that. So style, my family. I also am like a big Bravo girl. So I try to sprinkle in some Bravo things in there. I love doing like impressions of the housewives and things like that. So it's just so ridiculous. And none of it has to do with each other, you know? And people will say to me, oh, well, what's your brand? Like, you can only have one thing. And it's like, why do I only have to have one thing?
I think that advice screws people over.
Totally.
Because so many people like don't build that authentic, engaged community because they're not showing all parts of who they are.
Right. They're just showing what they think they need to be showing. And for me, it really messed me up for a while because it's like, okay, well, what's your thing? I don't know. Like, why do I have to have one thing? Why can't I have a few things? Mm-hmm. And like this week I want to post this, so I'm going to post it. I'm not going to not share that just because it doesn't go with my brand. You know,
well, it's so much.
Be you and do you.
That's a soundbite right there, right? No, it's so true because a lot, like I understand like when you're a product and like posting the same thing, but it's, I think it puts people in a box. And the beauty of a personal brand is that you can be multifaceted and you should be, and you should document that all because I'm sure it's like really grown that engaged community and they love you for all parts of it. And it gives people permission to also be themselves and step into that. With growing such a big audience, how do you deal with like, if you have any like negativity online? Because I think that also holds people back in this social media journey of like stepping into who they are. Because when you really be yourself and you're so vulnerable and that takes so much courage to do, then you hit like maybe someone not accept some troll saying something and it has a dagger, but I always say you can't let that hold you back because there's going to be for every like one hater, there's probably gonna be a million lovers. So how do you deal with that with having such a large community online and maybe having some people who are just jealous, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. I think for a while, it was something that I had a hard time dealing with, especially when it came to like my job and people critiquing my work and saying if I was bad in the ring or terrible, had a terrible match and things like that. I really had a hard time with for a while. But now I'm at a point where I just truly don't care. And I can say that honestly. It's just, it's a joke. If you're really worrying about what some idiot is saying about you that doesn't even know you, you know?
Yeah.
So I've recently opened up more on my social media about, you know, my journey getting pregnant. I had several miscarriages and I think it was a personal choice for me to share that because it was definitely a difficult time in my life. But I felt like if I'm going through this, I know there are other women out there going through this. And if I can share my story and be open and honest about it. And part of me was worried because I'm like, oh, are people going to think that I'm posting this for attention, for like sympathy? Yeah. And I'm like, I shouldn't care about that. I'm posting it because I want other women to know that they're not alone. And that if I'm going through this, you're going through it, we're going through it together. It happens. Let's normalize it. Let's not make it feel like, you know, we're doing something wrong by having a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really, I think it opened the floodgates for a lot of women. They came out of the woodwork to tell me about their experience. And ever since then, I truly, even if before I was like, oh, I don't care what people think on social media, I truly now don't care because it helps, I think, being open and being honest. And I could care less if people want to troll me over talking about something that they don't care about.
Yeah. And I think it's like so much self-awareness of you, like knowing your why and knowing where your heart lies. Cause then, you know, people can say whatever, but if your heart's in the right place, then you're just like, yeah, but I know my intentions.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
People will never know.
Right. And I don't have to explain myself to anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Literally listen to that on repeat.
Period.
Like, I like so much wisdom in that alone. And I think even when it comes to your beautiful relationship, like your partner, tell us about your relationship because just someone who like hasn't met you in real life, hasn't met your partner, I look at your social media and I'm like, oh, I think a lot of women probably saying that or like, I want what she has. Like, how did you guys meet? I also know that you guys are both in the same industry. He's also from the WWE. Did you meet
Like, yeah, we met at work. I mean, I met him when I first started.
Oh my God, when you first, was it right away?
No, like, God, okay. No. He was married. I was in a relationship. I wasn't even like a thing. I mean, I always thought he was hot, of course, but like, okay, no big deal. Like we were both.
He's taken.
Yeah, we're both living, you know, separate lives. And then, he was going through a divorce. He reached out to me. I was like, wait a minute, this is a little weird. Aren't you married?
How many years? In like how since you guys knew each other, like when he reached out?
Well, we first met in 2013. That's when I got signed. Yeah. So, and at that point he was wrestling, and then he had turned into a commentator, so he wasn't wrestling anymore. But when he had reached out to me, I was just like the furthest thing from my mind. Yeah. And then when he told me he was getting divorced and all this, I was like, I don't know. Like, he has kids. I don't know really what this even looks like to me. Mm-hmm. And my sister was the one that encouraged me. She was like, who cares? What do you have to lose? You know, just go on a date with him, hang out. And I was like, all right. So, and we just hit it off.
Right away.
He's my person. We're so opposite in so many ways. So we really balance each other out. But then in so many ways, we're so similar. Like, we grew up very similarly. We have the same sort of family values. Mm. And he's just like my best friend. And it sounds so ridiculous and so cliche, but I feel like I manifested him. I was like, I just want someone who I can just be myself with. Someone, he doesn't ever, you know, make me feel like I should be less or I should be smaller. Mm. Like, he lets me be me. And I always wanted to be with someone like that, because I feel like so many times I've been in relationships where you have to kind of shift and change who you are for someone to accept you or, you know, be with you. And it was the first time I could just be myself. And he's just, I manifested him like the perfect guy. I mean, and he's such a babe too. So that does not help, like does not hurt. He's just my absolute best friend. So I'm not even making this up, you guys. You can find someone that you truly love, that has all the things that you want, and just truly, I mean, don't get me wrong, he drives me nuts sometimes, and that's okay, because that's real and that's honest, and that's what happens in relationships. But he's just the best.
How, you know, you're manifesting, a lot of people in this podcast, like, we manifest. You know, before that, like, before your manifestation came into fruition, what did you do on your end to, like, call that in? Like, were you with partners that weren't good for you? And, like, you obviously came out of them, and I think that's a big, like, that's such a big blessing to then, you know, that person's not the one, I'm not going to settle for this. Because I think a lot of people, men, female, like, they stay with someone because of the fear that, like, that your manifestation's not going to come. Yep. So what did you do prior to, and you also have that self-awareness, though, to know, like, this isn't for me, but, like, everything that your partner is now, you knew what you needed.
Yeah, and I think that's all through trial and error. I mean, I'm a relationship girl. I hated being single. I was never actually single until I was in my late 20s, early 30s. Mm-hmm. I was always in a relationship. I would go from one to the next because I would have one and I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't good. And I would just stay in it because I would be worried or like feel bad, or, you know, if I try to talk to them about what wasn't right, you know, then they're like, oh, I'm going to change. And I'm like, okay, they're going to change. Right. And then they never do. You know, everyone falls back into their old habits. And I wish I could go back and shake myself and be like, hey, listen, you knew this wasn't right. Why did you stay like an extra year in this relationship just because?
Yeah.
And then I would move on to the next and the same thing would happen there.
Wow.
And then it's like I finally woke up and it was like, okay, my last relationship prior to my husband, it was like, this is not right. I should not be in this. Like, we have to, you know, move on. And I finally at that point was just me. And I just like did my own thing. I was single. I didn't even really care about like going on dates or things like that. I just wanted to be by myself. And it was the best thing for me because it made me realize who I was without being like Leah the girlfriend or Leah the partner. It was just like Leah. And I like found myself. That sounds so cheesy, but I did. I just found myself and I was able to work on some things that, I mean, I'm not perfect either. So I was able to work on some things, and it made me the person I am. Or was when I met my husband, I was able to be the best version of myself.
And you guys have such a beautiful relationship. And what do you think, like, I know you said you're best friends, but what do you think makes a good like a relationship work to the beautiful synergy and just like the way yours does.
We have three pillars for our relationship that we both agree on, and it's communication, honesty, and sex. Those are three most important things.
You guys should trademark.
Those are our things that we both agree on, and there's no, if one of those things are off, then we are off, and we try to go through, like, okay, well, what are we not being honest about right now? Or what are you not telling me? Or has it been too long since we've had sex? You know, it's like those three things, when they're all aligned, we're good. And so I think if you can, if my piece of advice, if you can have those three things in a relationship, I think you're golden.
I love that so much. Tell us about your routines. You know, I know you grew up as an athlete, and I'm sure your life was very like routine oriented with training and with your schedule. And it's so awesome if it's like very just like fluid right now because of the season of life you're in. But like, what is a day in the life of Leah like right now?
Right now, I mean, this is literally the happiest I've ever been.
It's glowing.
So crazy to say that. But I mean, obviously I can't work right now because my career requires me to wrestle, and I cannot wrestle right now.
Are you going to go back after?
The goal for sure. The goal is to go back, of course. I think it would be great to show women, you know, you can still have be part of such a physical sport and have a job and have a baby and all of those things. But I'm not rushing to go back. I definitely want to let my body heal and do what I have to do in order to be ready to go back. But right now, I mean, I do have a pretty regimented routine. It's like wake up, I have like my meals that I have for the day. I'm constantly like chiropractor, acupuncture. I have like a pelvic floor therapist. I have my trainer. Like I have all my appointments that I do that I feel I just for so long lacked. I didn't have the opportunity to take care of myself because I was traveling so much, working so much, and I wasn't making myself a priority. And now I'm allowed that opportunity to do that. And I'm just really taking advantage of it. And I'm like totally indulging in the self-care, totally indulging in taking care of myself and just doing what's best for me and for my baby and my family. And it's just, it's so nice. I'm just so grateful.
I feel like especially because like, it's like, I know when COVID happened, it was like, it's a crazy time, but also on the other side of it, I've had a lot of friends who were modeling and traveling all the time. And all of a sudden that stopped.
Sure.
They almost, cause they had no choice. Like everyone had no choice.
Right.
There were so many realizations that everyone had with like slowing down.
Yes.
And I think like there's such a beauty in that. And also you slow down, but you're filling it with things that fill your cup.
Yep.
It's so powerful. From your routine and like things that you do, do you have any things that have been or that are really non-negotiable for you, or any personal development habits, any non-negotiable habits that have like been really great that you love?
Non-negotiable is sleep. I mean, a girl needs her sleep. I'm big on that. So that's one thing that I'm worried about with the newborn. I'm like, how am I going to sleep? But I know it'll be fine.
Like, what do you sleep right now? Like how many hours?
I mean, I have to sleep at least 7 or 8 hours a night. I'm kind of like a morning person, I would say. So I'm in bed pretty early. I like to do a nice stretch before I go to bed and just feel good. And, I'm a big homebody too. So I feel like
love a homebody.
Traveling so much for so long. Now I just really appreciate being home. And that's like a non-negotiable, and having some couch time every week, like on my couch with my pets and just chilling. That's kind of my routine.
I love a homebody vibe, especially like with being so go, go, go. Now it's like, why not? And you have, you know, a baby coming.
I know, yes.
You have three kids at home. They probably love to have you home all the time.
Yeah, they're great. We have them every weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have the kids. And that's just been such an awesome experience. I mean, having them is what made me definitely. I mean, I knew I always wanted to be a mom, but I got as I got older, I was like, maybe, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then having those three kids in my life, they just really, they're so amazing. They're such little blessings and made me want to have a kid of my own. So
do you want to have more kids after one kid?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like, I don't like to say like never. I don't know, but I think one is good. But you never know what the future holds.
No, give us like, what is coming for you? Like, what are you excited about in the next like 5, 6 months, even a year? Like anything in the pipeline that you're even working on that you can share? I know it's like, you're pregnant. Like it's time to sit and like enjoy this season. But what is coming where people can kind of like keep an eye out and like get excited about?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm actually really glad you asked that. This is something that I'm working on that I never kind of thought it would land in my lap or be an idea that I had. And I think it's through the miscarriages, through this pregnancy, through everything.
Through being vulnerable.
Through all of these things that I'm working on this project right now that will, I don't want to say too much, but it's something that I think will connect a lot of women, and kind of be like a one-stop shop for women who are, want to learn more about sex, learn more about fertility issues, learn more about pregnancy, prenatal, postnatal care. These are things that, you know, we just kind of don't talk about, I feel, as women. Mm-hmm. And I think to have a platform to be able to share these things with other women and come together as a community, create a community to talk about these things and educate women on these topics. I mean, I had an ectopic pregnancy. I didn't know what an ectopic pregnancy was until it happened to me. So I think being able to, you know, be open and share these things and educate women and communicate, create a community. And I'm really excited. Like I said, I don't want to share too much, but it's in the works. And I'm just so excited that this has, you know, come to me and I'm able to be working on this through my pregnancy, and it will probably be ready to launch, I would say, spring of next year. So,
wow,
keep an eye out. It's going to be a game changer. She's like, I promise.
Hustling right now. That is insane. And I also think it just comes so full circle with like you, your whole journey, and then you just being the unapologetic, like amazing human that you are and using your platform for good. Blessings come when we are like moving in alignment to who we are.
Exactly. And it just feels like, because I was wondering, like, what is the next step for me? Of course, I want to go back to wrestling, and that's great. I've been doing that for years. So, like, what is the next step? And I was just racking my brain for a while trying to figure that out. Obviously, motherhood, it's great, but I'm a career girl too. Like, I want to have
an entrepreneur. Yeah.
So, it's really exciting what happens when things just align and it just feels right and not forced. And I'm just really excited.
That's how you always know, right?
Like, exactly.
Just like come out of when it just aligns, like your partner appeared.
Yes.
Business is like,
guys, so, it's wild.
Life is so crazy. Insane. You have such a good, like, I know it's coffee and a good vibe, but you have such a good like vibe that you exude.
Oh,
and I think it's like, it's because some people, I'm very energy receptive, and sometimes some people just like they don't carry like this like light vibration. It's like a heavy.
Sure.
And you're just like flowing with glowing energy.
All the good vibrations.
Oh my gosh. Well, where can the people stay connected with you? Because I feel like everyone needs more Leah in their life. And also like the new platform, like it's going to be a platform that's probably going to.
Yes. Well, and we'll have a social media presence and everything like that. But you can find me on Instagram. It's Carmella WWE. I am on TikTok, but I'm not like, I'm kind of bad at TikTok. I'm trying, guys. I think my TikTok handle is Leah_Van_Dale, because I created this before I was even supposed to be like, I'm like, why did I put so many underscores in my TikTok username? That is so cringe. But yeah, Leah Van Dale, find me.
Any other platforms? And we'll also, we'll link everything below in the show notes as well so they can find you. Any other platforms you want to plug?
I got nothing.
We love it. We keep it simple over here. Well, thank you so much, Leah. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And we will see you in the next one.